ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, Srila Prabhupada was in the presence of his worshipable master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada had surrendered his heart and his soul at the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj. Although at the time he had a family and such responsibilities toward them, his heart of hearts was always contemplating how to serve the mission of Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could see the love and dedication in our Srila Prabhupada's heart. And thus, he spoke very confidentially. For the spiritual master to see conflict amongst disciples is very painful. Why is it painful? Because the great souls are compassionate. The spiritual master, out of compassion, as an instrument of Lord Chaitanya's love, takes not only formal responsibility, but a deep, heartfelt concern for the spiritual welfare of each disciple, and is also very much hopeful that their unity and their purity can spread the glories of the holy name to innocent fallen people throughout the whole world who are otherwise hopeless and helpless. Yes, it is true. This entire planet Earth has been viciously struck by the tsunami wave of illusion from the ocean of Kali, and spiritually on every continent there is mass devastation, enormous casualties. And therefore the great souls, they understand the great need of relief work. And in this age of Kali, there is only one medicine that can actually cure the hearts. To actually counteract the devastating effects of the waves of Kali. And that is the association of Vaishnavas and the chanting of the holy names. Kalero dosanide raja nasti he kumahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha parambraje. The age of Kali is an ocean of faults. And the waves of that ocean has struck hard. It is an ocean of faults. But there is one benediction. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to spread this prime benediction for all humanity to the world. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namaha. Most magnanimous and merciful, even more so than Krishna. Krishna revealed his pastimes to the world and spoke Bhagavad Gita to give us the ways and the means by which we can approach him. But he comes in this age of Kali as the golden avatar to personally teach by his example how we can achieve the highest perfection. Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they broke open the storehouse of love of God, which was sealed, confidential to only a few. They broke it open, they tasted it, and profusely distributed it to everyone and anyone without discrimination of who is fit or unfit. Through Nam Sankirtan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, the supreme, most intimate and confidential holy place in all of the universal creation, the place where Sri Sri Radha Gopinath perform the summit of all their confidential pastimes, eternally, every day. A place where many people go, praying for even a drop of the prema. Rupa Goswami has written that if one in the proper consciousness bathes in Radha Kund, which is none different than the love of Srimati Radharani, one will be blessed with that same type of love. But here is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the banks of Radha Kund, revealing his heart to his very, very intimate loving disciple, Srila Prabhupada, who was then Abhay Charanaravinda. He said, there is fire in the mat. There is fighting amongst the devotees. And what was that fighting? over insignificant, useless positions. A devotee never demands respect, but a devotee should command respect. What is the difference? To demand respect means to expect it from others and to be very discouraged or angry if you don't get it. To order it, you must give me respect. To command respect means to live and speak in such a way that one naturally conquers the hearts of others, and they want to respect you. They want to surrender to you. We were discussing the other day, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini, that a great devouring tigress has come to devour us in the forms of greed and attachment for wealth, lust for the opposite sex, or in the age of Kali, it could be the same sex. And pratishta, the desire for recognition, respect, adoration, prestige. Krishna tells what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. It is a trap of Maya. We think we'll get some pleasure through these forms: wealth, sex life, and honor. But actually, it is a tigress. It is coming to devour us. So when the spiritual master sees the disciples who he has given his life for fighting over such petty things as position, recognition, envious of one another, out of compassion, it is very, very painful. And Prabhupada explained that when devotees fight in this way, so much of their energy goes into that, that the world suffers because we cannot outreach to them. So yes, on banks of Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking like this to Prabhupada. They are fighting over rooms. There is fire in the mat. There is disunity. He often said, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he will be pleased to see you. This was really the subject matter of His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj's class yesterday, which he so eloquently and comprehensively explained. So on banks of Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was thinking of his service to Srimati Radharani. What will please her? Krishna descended with the heart and the love of Srimati Radharani to this world. Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of her love. And Radha and Krishna, in the form of Gauranga, wanted to manifest that love toward every living being in the spirit of compassion by giving them Krishna prema. That is service. This is real ecstasy. Real ecstasy is not how I will enjoy it, but how Radha and Krishna will enjoy me. It was at that time that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave his historical instruction to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "We have built this mat in the Bagh Bazaar of Calcutta, and now they are fighting over rooms. It will be better if we take the marble off the walls and print books." If you ever get money, print books. Distribute books. Years later in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada explained how the devotees should distribute books. And he even confessed that whether this is realistic or not, it is the order of my spiritual master. Therefore, I must blindly follow it. To translate, to print, and distribute these books. To be empowered to change people's hearts can only come when we're satisfying our guru and the parampara. It is not by our intelligence. It is not by our creative efforts. We must use our intelligence and our creative efforts. But actually, the flow of bhakti can only manifest through us when we are carrying out the instruction of the great souls. We should never think we know so much. In fact, Lord Chaitanya taught us that we should always feel ourselves fool before spiritual master. And that doesn't only mean when he's physically present with us. That means our whole life. Even after the spiritual master leaves this world for many, many years, still, his instructions and his mood of preaching is on top of our heads, and we must always feel fool before that. Prabhupada often chastised his disciples for being over-intelligent. We should be simple. This is the real secret of success. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. So Prabhupada took this order as his life and soul. On his first meeting with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he got an instruction. Spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in the English language all over the world. And at Radhakund, distribute books and print books. So these two simple instructions is the very heart of Srila Prabhupada's whole mission. And there are many, many great scholars, philosophers, and bhajan, and people who have perfected their bhajan. But because Prabhupada took these simple instructions as his life and his soul, and never thought that there's anything beyond it. Such faith, such sacrifice, is what empowered him to do what Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Bhakti Vinod predicted. To manifest around the whole world, hundreds and thousands of people, to chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya taught Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta that the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great personalities. We must understand very carefully the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But one of the most beautiful ways of comprehending and absorbing the philosophy of Mahaprabhu is simply to hear about the lives of the great personalities who surrender their lives to the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam, as Makanlal Prabhu was explaining yesterday, is narration after narration of great devotees and how they lived. Through them, not only the principles of philosophy, but the practical methods in which they are applied are understood. We are coming from a most glorious disciplic succession of empowered acharyas. It is our good fortune to open our minds and our hearts to try to understand the lives of these acharyas. We cannot imitate them, but we could learn so much about philosophy, about surrender, about Vaishnava relationships, simply by hearing. Today, I would like to speak briefly about one such great acharya in our disciplic succession. He is the first personality in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya to accept the mission of distributing books. Today we will speak something on the life of Srinivas Acharya. But before we begin, I would like to welcome His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj to our yatra. I remember when I first met Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj several decades back. I think it was in about 1979. He was telling me about Srinivas Acharya. Do you remember? He was very much explaining the importance of the Bhakti Ratnakar, a book which explains the history of the acharyas in the generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So as a humble offering at your lotus feet, I will try to speak something today, Maharaj. In Bengal, there is a village called Chakandi Gram. And there was a very learned and pure-hearted Brahmin whose name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, and his wife was Lakshmi Priya. He once went to his father-in-law's home in Jajigram, his name Balaram Vipra. And from there, went to Kantak Nagar, or Katwa. He saw many people rushing to Keshav Bharati Maharaj's ashram. Just when he arrived, he saw the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had just come from Navadvip, and he sat down
and very, very strongly commanded a barber to shave his beautiful curling hair. That hair that enchanted the entire creation. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair was being cut in preparation for his taking of sannyas, a great roar of weeping and tears filled the world. Gangadhar Bhattacharya was beside himself in grief. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happily sat down under a tree with Keshav Bharati and was given the sannyas name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This Gangadhar was so much moved by this experience that all he could say was, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Just repeating the name of the Lord. He was mad. He was intoxicated. When he came back to to Chakandigram, all he could do was just cry out, Chaitanya, 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 Chaitanya. And the residents thought he was completely mad. And they understood why he was in this state. And they didn't know what to do about it. So some of them thought, the only person who can help him is Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, they all started calling him Chaitanya Das. Because he had given his life, his soul, his everything to Lord Chaitanya, who was his only shelter. After that incident of witnessing the sannyas ceremony and seeing the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga the first time in his life, something extraordinary happened. In his heart, he had a very deep, uncontrollable yearning for a son. He was such a detached person that he never had such an inclination like this before. And simultaneously, that same desire grew within the heart of his wife, Lakshmi Priya. Chaitanya Das explained his feelings to his wife. And she replied that we should go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. And then the fruit of all of our desires will be fulfilled. So they went to Puri. As they were walking, they were both lamenting. Why? Why did we waste our lives? All of these years we have not surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of these years we have spent and wasted in so many mundane affairs. Let us pray, let us hope that for every moment of our lives we can meditate on the sweetness of the beautiful moon-like face of Sri Gauranga. In this way, they traveled to Puri. Just outside of Puri, while they were lamenting in this way, they both simultaneously had a vision. In that vision, they saw a beautiful young boy who had a dark complexion like a rain cloud. He had lovely lotus-like eyes, peacock feather adorning his head. He stood in a threefold bending form and was playing upon his flute.
He had a dhoti which was the color of lightning and a beautiful garland of multi flowers from the forest extending below his knees. That form turned into Sri Navadvip Chandra with a golden complexion like a champak flower, with lotus eyes that seemed to extend to his ears. That beautiful form was dazzling. His long curly hair was enchanting the hearts of all. He was dancing in ecstasy with his associates. And then that form turned into Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi, holding a staff and a kamandalu in saffron clothes. And then that form turned into the beautiful blackish form of Jagannath, who was performing extraordinary pastimes with Balaram and Subhadra. Then the dream disappeared. They entered into Puri, and right when they came to the Singhadwaram, Lord Chaitanya was just entering Jagannath Temple with his intimate associates. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to see Chaitanya Das. When Lakshmi Priya and Chaitanya Das saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's form, unblinkingly they gazed upon him with torrents of tears of love flowing from their eyes. Lord Chaitanya called for him, and he said, "Go to see Lord Jagannath. He will fulfill your desire." Then Lord Chaitanya and his associates went for the darshan of Jagannath, and as they were coming out, Chaitanya Das fell at the feet, repeatedly offering his obeisances to Mahaprabhu and to each and every one of his associates. And Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, "Bring him before Jagannath Dev." Chaitanya Das prayed before Lord Jagannath. A little later that day, the devotees were very curious. What was this desire? They asked Govinda, "Do you know what the desire was that he had, that Lord Chaitanya told him to ask for?" Govinda said, "This is a secret. Nobody knows. But I think Lord Chaitanya will reveal it to us." Just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya called for Govinda. And he told that this great Brahman, he has come to Jagannath Puri with the desire to have a son. And Lord Jagannath will fulfill his desire. His son will be named Srinivas. He will be the very personification of ecstatic spiritual love. Through Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, I have revealed the desires of my heart, which they have put in their books. And through Srinivas, I will distribute those books throughout the land. After the darshan, Lord Jagannath appeared within a vision to Chaitanya Das and told him that
your son will be spiritual love personified that I am sending to save the suffering humanity.
Then Lord Chaitanya called for Chaitanya Das and told him,
go to Godadesh immediately. The Lord will fulfill your desire.
So he went home, and practically immediately, his wife Lakshmi Priya was pregnant. On the full moon day of the month of Vaishakha,
the child was born, and he was given the name Srinivas.
He grew like the waxing moon. When he was just a young child, his mother, who was a very pure devotee, she taught him Nam Sankirtan. Whenever he was with his mother would just teach him names of Krishna and names of Lord Chaitanya. And he would repeat these names after his mother, and his mother would sing the names, and he would sing the names with his mother. In this way, he would practically not repeat anything else except the beautiful, all-merciful names of Gauranga and Krishna and their associates. A little later in his life, he began his studies. He was given the sacred thread. And what a brilliant scholar he became. But his exclusive thirst was to study the scriptures. At that time, when he was just a young boy, that great associate of Lord Chaitanya, Narahari Sarakar, came from Srikanda and met Srinivas in Jajigram. He loved him like a father, blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. From that time, a very, very deep special connection was awakened between Narahari and Srinivas. Srinivas was so eager to hear about Lord Chaitanya. He would ask his father repeatedly to tell him the pastimes of the Lord. And as he'd hear his father speak, Srinivas would be intoxicated. He could not hear enough. Chaitanya Das explained to him about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, when I was a little boy, he said, I used to hear about this Nimai, but due to my association, I never really understood who he was. But I was always hearing about him. He explained how Nimai became the greatest scholar of Navadvip. Even the Digvijay Pandit Keshav Kashmiri, he came with so many followers, elephants, palanquins, and horses, victorious in his debate wherever he went throughout the world. But Nimai, knowing that he was the favorite of Goddess Saraswati, defeated him, smashed all of his pride without hurting his heart. That was a miracle. And how the Digvijay Pandit surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. He told the story of Lord Chaitanya's going to Gaya and taking initiation from Ishwarapuri and serving his guru with great love. And how he came back to Navadvip and established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And there, along with his devotees, were constantly intoxicating, chanting and dancing throughout the day and night and hearing the glories of Sri Krishna.
He explained the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy in the story of Jagai and Madhai. How the Lord performed Nam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadweep to the house of Chankazi with so many millions and millions of people, most of the demigods from the celestial worlds descended and disguised themselves as ordinary people to participate in this kirtan of Nimai. And how the Kazi surrendered to him. And then he explained, I was hearing these stories. I was yearning and yearning and yearning to see Nimai. And finally, I decided I'm going there. I've surrendered my heart and my life to him. I must go there. I've never seen him. And I was on my way from Chakandigram to Jajigram. And en route to Navadweep, I decided to stop in Katwa. Because Kesha Bharati, from my very childhood, was like a father to me. Whenever I visited him, he just showered affection upon me and always allowed me to be a guest in his ashram. So I decided I will see Keshav Bharati, get his blessings, and then go to Navadweep. But when I was approaching Katwa, I saw thousands of people running to the home of Keshav Bharati. And I asked them, why? What is happening? And they told me, Nimai has come from Navadweep. Lord Gauranga has come to Navadweep, to Katwa. Let us all go see him. So I was running along with the crowds. I was thinking, I have attained the moon in my own hands. But then when I approached, I saw people were weeping and crying. And I asked them, what's happening? And nobody could respond to me. But then I heard someone say to someone else that Nimai has decided to take sannyas, the renounced order of life from Keshav Bharati. And today, that beautiful hair, which is the essence of all beauty, which enchants all hearts, is going to be cut from his head. And there I saw, under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Nimai ordering the barber to shave his head. And the wailing and the crying filled the whole world. That was my first sight of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Chaitanya Das was telling Srinivas the story, Srinivas fell to the ground weeping, and Chaitanya Das embraced him and tried to console him and offered him a blessing that may Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu profusely shower his mercy upon you. It was in this way that practically all day, every day, Chaitanya Das would narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates to Chaitanya Das, to Srinivas. And Srinivas, eager, was always asking to hear more. One day, Chaitanya Das told to Srinivas that all that I have, including your mother, is now yours. I am giving you everything, and I am going to Vrindavan. Then he began to explain how Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were residing in Vrindavan. He said, when I was a small boy, my teacher brought me to Ramkeli.
And there, Rupa and Sanatan, whose names were then Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, they greeted us and offered us accommodations. They had built a beautiful assembly house where they would invite great pundits, especially from Nadia, to come to discuss the holy scriptures. Rupa and Sanatan, they looked just like Indra in the assembly of the demigods. And when they would recite and speak from the holy scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone would be enthralled, struck with wonder. And yet they were so humble that even when an ordinary person would come to the assembly hall, they would come down from their seats and welcome them and offer them all services. This was something that really struck my heart, he said. They had such immense wealth, beauty, knowledge, fame, and yet they were humble like the grass and eager to offer all respect to others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli and accepted them as his own and ordered them to go to Vrindavan. And then he explained how Rupa and Sanatan were living in Vrindavan as the very personifications of renunciation and pure love. Soon after this, Chaitanya Das gave up his body and his soul went back to the spiritual world. Lakshmi Priya, his wife, she was so grief-stricken, but as soon as she saw the face of her son Srinivas, all of her grief was forgotten. The mother took her son to make their residence with her father, Balaram Vipra, in Jajigram. There they resided. And Srinivas, day and night, simply searched for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya to hear the glorious pastimes of him. He yearned so deeply to see the form of Lord Chaitanya and to surrender to his lotus feet in a personal way. He decided to go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Gauranga. He received his mother's permission. In Sri Kanda, he approached Narahari Sarakar. And Narahari was in a very grave mood. He said, "You must go immediately to Nilachala, because I have heard that Advaitacharya has sent a letter with a Taraja poem, which is breaking our hearts." It was Sri Advaita who invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend and appear in this world. And now through this poem, Advaitacharya is telling Lord Chaitanya he has fulfilled his mission and now he should return to the spiritual world. "You should go quickly because I feel very soon the Lord will end his pastimes in the world we live." Day and night, Srinivasacharya walked. In his heart, he was constantly praying and hoping, "Will I see that beautiful, beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Will I see him surrounded in the association of all of his loving devotees? Will I meet Gadadhar Pandit and hear him reciting Srimad Bhagavatam before the Lord and the Vaishnavas?" When he approached Jagannath Puri, he saw some travelers just coming from that place. And they looked very despondent. In fact, they looked devastated. And Srinivasacharya, or Srinivas, asked, you know, please tell me the news. Tell me the news of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. What is happening? They could not speak. But finally, with great efforts, you did not hear? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left us. He has ended his pastimes on earth. When Srinivasacharya heard that, he fell to the ground. He was overwhelmed. He began beating his head with his fist, pulling his hair out and tearing his chest with his nails, uncontrollably rolling on the ground, and decided there is no reason to continue his life. I will enter into a lake of fire. In that state, he fell unconscious. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. The Lord appeared in such a beautiful form. And he placed his feet on Srinivas's head. And then he disappeared. And when Srinivas came back to consciousness, that only increased the ecstasies of his separation. And he fell unconscious again. And again Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And this time he spoke. He said, go to Nilachala. Go to Gadadhar Pandit, who was residing at the temple of Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit is eagerly awaiting for your arrival. He wishes to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. He's only remaining alive for you. Go. Now, do not delay. And then Lord Chaitanya, with his own loving hands, wiped the tears from Srinivasa's face and disappeared. Srinivasacharya came to Narendra Sarovar, and there he meditated on the wonderful water sports that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform there with his devotees. And then he approached the Singhadwaram. By this time it was night, and he rested. At the Singhadwaram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired his heart so deeply. From there, he went to Markandeya Sarovar. He didn't go in the temple. And there he asked, where is Gopinath Temple? And someone took him there. And he saw the beautiful form of Tota Gopinath, surrendered his life and worshiped the deity. At that time, one of the assistants ran and told Gadadhar Pandit that Srinivas has come. Gadadhar Pandit said, bring him here. Gadadhar Pandit, he was heaving in the depths of separation. He was immersed in the ocean of separation. Can you just imagine his condition? Just days before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared from the world. But when he saw Srinivas, joy blossomed within his heart. He took Srinivas in his lap. Srinivas Acharya was offering his obeisances again and again and again, but he picked him up, placed him on his lap, and embraced him with the love of a father for a child. And Gadadhar Pandit told one of his assistants to introduce Srinivas to all the surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya. What blessings Srinivas received. They took him to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai were sitting together discussing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. He fell at their feet. They picked him up and embraced him and embraced him, and with fatherly love, they blessed him. Then he was taken to the house of Vakreshwar Pandit, and he embraced him like a father to a child and blessed Srinivas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told all of us about you. He will perform many wonderful, glorious activities through you. He was taken to see Paramananda Puri, who blessed him, and Sikhi Mahiti. And then he was brought to Lord Chaitanya's two personal servants, Govinda and Shankar Pandit. It cannot be explained, the oceanic sufferings of separation that they were enduring. They were in fire of ecstatic pain in the absence of their Lord. What would they do? Where would they go? It was as if their life had left. In fact, it had. But when they saw Srinivas, joy awakened in their heart. All of these great souls placed their feet on Srinivas's head and embraced him with love. He was brought to the house of Gopinathacharya. But Srinivas was thinking, why am I so sinful that I was born at such a time where I has not seen the Lord? And Swarup Damodar Goswami has already left the world with the Lord, and Raghunath Das Goswami has left Nilachala for Vrindavan. Will I ever see them? At that time, he heard about King Prataparudra, who simply could not speak to anyone. During Lord Chaitanya's life, King Prataparudra enthroned his own son as king, and he just went into bhajan and worship. But now in a secluded place, he was simply weeping in remembrance of the Lord day and night. He went to the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur and fell there at the feet of Haridas, surrendering his life. And then Gadadhar Pandit sent him to see Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. After the darshan of the Lord, he returned to Totagopinath temple. Gadadhar Pandit said to him, I wish to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam, but there are so many obstacles in the path of my instructing you. But still, I will try. For many days, Gadadhar Pandit gave explanations to Srinivasacharya on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, which utterly illuminated Srinivas's heart. But one day, Gadadhar Pandit said that my book is very old. If you want to learn it properly, you should bring me a new one. Go to Godadesh and bring a new Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he handed the book to Srinivas. Please listen carefully if you're still awake. Srinivas placed that book on his head as the ultimate supreme treasure of all treasures. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam that every single day for year after year, Gadadhar Pandit would recite before Lord Chaitanya for several hours. And when he looked at the pages of the book, he saw a great wonder that the tears of Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon hearing the Bhagavatam, those tears flowed like endless rivers and soaked the pages of the book. Thus, the writing on every page was smudged in so many places that it was impossible for anyone to read. Srinivasacharya, with unblinking eyes for a very long, long time, simply gazed upon that book with those tears in total speechless state. The confluence of the love of Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar filled that Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit said, "Go to Godadesh and bring a new Bhagavatam for me. And then you will learn." When Srinivasacharya heard this instruction, it was as if the sky was falling on his head. To leave Gadadhar Pandit, to leave Nilachala. But still, he had no alternative. It was the order given to him. With great difficulty, he said goodbye to all of the devotees. And it was very, very much painful as death for all of them to say farewell to Srinivasacharya. He traveled to Srikanda, where he received a Srimad Bhagavatam from Narahari Sarakar. Actually, he only arrived in Srikanda after walking so long distance, and the next morning he woke up and said, "I'm going back to Nilachala. How will I live without Gadadhar Pandit's darshan? How can I live without his love and affection? I cannot follow his instruction. I'm going back today." Day and night, in great haste, he was moving toward Nilachala. And just in the outskirts, he saw some travelers coming back from the other direction. They were emaciated. It appeared that their entire lives were withering away. He said, "What has happened? Please tell me the news. What is happening in Nilachala?" They could not speak. And then one person told another that, "How will we live? What is the value of this world? Gadadhar Pandit, in his separation from Lord Gauranga, has left us." When Srinivasacharya heard this, he screamed out, "Oh Gauranga, oh Gadadhar, oh Gauranga, oh Gadadhar." He started rolling on the ground, pulling his hair, beating his head, fell unconscious. And when the travelers saw him in this condition, they lamented, "Why? Why did we tell him this news? Why did we have to be the bearers of this news to this poor child?" They tried everything within their powers to console Srinivas, but it was not possible. In his unconscious state, Gadadhar Pandit appeared to Srinivas and tried to speak consoling words to him. But Srinivas could not be pacified. Like a wild man, he went back to Jajigram. And there he was immersed in so much separation. He had concluded that there is no purpose in my life. I cannot sustain my life breath. I do not want to live in this world any longer. And in that state, he fainted. And something wonderful took place. Gaur Gadadhar. Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit both appeared before Srinivasacharya. They spoke such words of encouragement. They placed their feet on his head. They lifted him up. They embraced him. No, you cannot leave this world. We have many, many significant services that we are going to perform through you to deliver humanity. Now you go to Navadvip, visit our associates there, and after Navadvip, go to Vrindavan. As soon as Srinivasacharya came to his external consciousness, immediately he traveled to Navadvip from Jajigram. When he came to the outskirts of Navadvip, he saw some travelers coming from there, and they were in a very, very, very lamentable, pitiable state. And Srinivas didn't even have the power to ask them what happened, but he heard them discussing with each other, what is the value of living in this world? Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya have left us. Srinivasacharya fell to the ground. Why do I have to live in this wrong time? What sins, what abominable activities, what atrocities have I committed to have to be born now, where I'm not able to associate with the Lord and his devotees? Overcome with grief, he gave up on his life. But then Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu appeared before him. And they spoke that thoughts like this are not right. There are many duties you must perform. And then they placed their feet upon his head. This is significant. What all of these great avatars and acharyas are telling him is that a devotee lives to perform his duty. That is our life. We live to serve the will of the Lord. There should really be no other consideration. For a devotee, no service, there's no spiritual life. Should I continue? I'm sorry if I'm speaking too much, but I'm so shameless, I do it anyway. So he entered Navadvipa.